Or, and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. The FCC hearings to destroy net neutrality are going on right now. You can pull them up at fcc.gov. Strike general, strike live. I guess that's stroke general, stroke live. I decided that before I got into the nitty-gritty of that, I would talk about 40 reasons for revolution that just came off the top of my head. When I look at the grotesque corruption and venality of the society as it is currently constituted, or I should say as the government is currently constituted and the way it's structured, I want revolution first because I love seeing people do what they want to do, free of want and fear. Second, I want revolution because this society provides a base for parasitism. The cash value of our effort and creativity is sucked away by the dynastic class. Third, we have been brainwashed to believe that we are consumers rather than citizens. Fourth, we have been brainwashed to think that we are living in a democracy rather than a plutocratic oligarchy. Fifth reason for revolution, our psyches have been deformed to accept aggression against ourselves in the form of racism, classism, and sexism. Sixth, we have been brainwashed not to see the racism, sexism, and classism that we perpetrate. Seventh, we live in a police state and are numbed to it. Eighth reason for revolution, we live in a mass incarceration state and are numbed to it. Ninth reason for revolution, the police kill 1,000 people per year in the United States and we don't even prosecute when it's clearly murder. Tenth, we do not acknowledge our history of genocide and oppression of all persons not rich, white, and male. 11th, the maldistribution of wealth has reached depths never seen since Dickens. 12th, young people who take loans to attend college cannot hope to have a stable family life, cannot hope to get ahead, cannot hope to retire until they approach 80. 13th reason for revolution, Spanish-speaking persons are subjected to daily harassment, arrest, and deportations in a new wave of ethnic cleansing. 14th reason for revolution, Spanish-speaking immigrants are being forced out despite having been lured here to fill an agricultural and services labor vacuum. 15th, Spanish-speaking immigrants are being forced out after the U.S. forced them out of their countries with NAFTA and Contra wars. Never a thought to fairness. 16th reason, Spanish-speaking persons are being sadistically separated from their own families. 17th, Spanish-speaking persons' economic boost to Social Security and to the country's infrastructure and economy is being ignored. 18th reason for revolution, black people are being redlined and gentrified out of their homes. 19th reason for revolution, black people are being murdered by police. 20th, black people are being quietly and casually excluded from jobs and homes. 21st, despite a documented history of repression and extraction, no warp reparations are offered for black persons. 22nd, Asian descended persons are made to feel like permanent strangers in their own society. And Indigenous Americans are made to feel much the same. 23rd, women are being humiliated, groped, raped, and excluded from equal participation without penalty. 24th, the U.S. is occupying the world, intimidating most countries and maintaining 1,000 war bases at the expense of U.S. workers. 25th, the U.S. government is subsidizing oil companies even as petroleum usage destroys the atmosphere and the ecosystem. 26th reason for revolution. The U.S. government allows oil companies to brainwash much of the population into believing they are not causing the global climate crisis. 27th, after generations of military and corporate brainwashing, many U.S. citizens are sympathetic to Nazi ideas and even identify as Nazis. 28th reason for revolution. Our children are subjected to regimentation and loyalty oaths in our schools. 29th, our schools are primarily concerned with producing conformity and meekness and do not prepare children for full and healthy lives. 30th, higher education is excluded from the masses without crippling loan debt. 31st, students who are unable to pay their burdensome debts are often forced to carry them through old age. 32nd, healthcare is perverted into a system of lavish subsidies for rich companies. It is a system of denying healthcare. 33rd reason for revolution. The known terrorist organization, the Ku Klux Klan, is allowed to meet openly despite a history of ongoing murders. 34th reason for revolution. Many police across the nation are members of the KKK terrorist organization. 35th, the president is a venal, narcissistic, and deranged fool who threatens nuclear war. 36th, the Congress and all elected bodies are structurally dependent on massive corporate contributions for elections. 37th, the Pentagon and the secret police organizations enjoy a black budget hidden from the public. 38th reason for revolution. Fracking industries are subsidized by tax money despite their destruction of watersheds, radiation safety, and even earthquake faults. 39th reason for revolution. The Arctic ice is melting to a never-before-seen level. Wildlife like walruses and polar bears are disappearing from starvation, and high temperatures kill people around the globe. 40th. The country is ruled by a dynasty of billionaires who intend to hide in their air-conditioned enclosures or else befoul this planet and move to another. And I could think of some more, and maybe you'd like to think of reasons for revolution. 503-231-8187. Right now, if you pull up the FCC website, fcc.gov, you can see Ajit Pai putting on his Martin Shkreli smirk. Ajit Pai, who produced a video mocking the great majority of people who oppose what he is doing today. Ajit Pai destroying net neutrality. When you go online, you have certain expectations. I'm going to use savetheinternet.com's words here. But I'm going to change them to past tense. You expect to be connected to whatever website you want. You expect that your cable or phone company isn't messing with the data and is connecting you to all websites, applications, and content you choose. You expect to be in control of your internet experience. When you used the internet, you expected net neutrality. Net neutrality was the basic principle that prohibited internet service providers, like AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon from speeding up, slowing down, or blocking any content, applications, or websites you wanted to use. Net neutrality was the way that the internet had always worked. In 2015, millions of activists pressured the Federal Communications Commission to adopt historic net neutrality rules that kept the internet free and open, allowing you to share and access information of your choosing without interference. But right now, this win is past news. Today, Ajit Pai has passed the destruction of net neutrality, calling it freedom, of course. He has destroyed net neutrality. The FCC is meeting, and in moments, we'll vote to destroy net neutrality, and worse, to create a toothless commission to make it difficult to restore net neutrality. Net neutrality was the internet's guiding principle. It preserved our right to communicate freely online. Net neutrality meant an internet that enabled and protected free speech. It meant that ISPs should provide us with open networks and shouldn't block or discriminate against any applications or content that ride over those networks. Well, it's too bad, because it's over with, but I'd like to know what you think about it. 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Without net neutrality, cable and phone companies can now carve the internet into fast and slow lanes. An ISP can slow down its competitors' content or block political opinions it disagreed with. Now, departing from the text there, This is already happening as algorithms have been introduced nationally, which discriminate against organizations that are left or perceived to be left. For example, Alternet, Mother Jones, Democracy Now, and I presume KABU, WS.org. All of these organizations, all of these websites, have been discriminated against by computer programs, algorithms that select them for downvoting, so that when you're investigating a certain subject or when you're on social media and browsing, you are not likely to encounter and interact with these sites anymore. Now, on top of that, on top of what is happening in terms of the algorithms and the direct assault against dissent in the United States, we have lost net neutrality, and so AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon can make greater profits by blasting their content out without interruption and crowding out whatever you want to watch. The Oregon representatives and Congress persons have been very good about this, with certain exceptions. Greg Walden took $1.6 million from Comcast, Verizon, and AT&T shills. They probably didn't call themselves Comcast, Verizon, and AT&T, but that's where the money came from. $1.6 million to Greg Walden, and that's the sort of fake representative democracy that we have. And that's why it doesn't matter what the people want. It's what the millions of dollars want, the billions of dollars. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And notice that the KBOO website had comments about net neutrality, supporting net neutrality, and I've certainly heard about it on programs on KBOO over the last year and have commented on it myself. This doesn't matter. And actually, I believe the secretary, the person who is serving as a spokesperson for and director of conversation this morning on the FCC website, gave her dissenting vote and dissenting view about why net neutrality was so important and how appalled she was that there was a new paradigm on the FCC which roundly ignored and even mocked public opinion and public needs. This is the let them eat cake era of deregulation. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. The internet now without net neutrality isn't the internet that you knew yesterday. Unlike the open internet that has paved the way for so much innovation and given a platform to people who have historically been shut out, it will now become a closed down network where cable and phone companies call the shots and decide which websites, content, or applications succeed. We are having trouble with our phones. So I'm going to give you a different phone number. Our phone lines are not functioning right now for whatever reason. So here's the new number that you can call with your comments, 503-231-8032, extension 231, or ask to be transferred to the air room. So that's 503-231-8032, extension 231, or ask to be transferred to the air room. I'll give that to you again in just a moment. This decision is going to have an enormous impact. Companies like AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon are able to decide now who is heard and who isn't. They are able to block websites or content they don't like or applications that compete with their own offerings. Consequences will be particularly devastating for marginalized communities that media outlets have misrepresented or failed to serve. People of color, the LGBTQ community, indigenous peoples, and religious minorities in the United States rely on the open internet, or I should say relied on the open internet to organize, access economic and educational opportunities, and fight back against systemic discrimination. Now, speaking for myself, this isn't going to happen all at once, probably. Tomorrow, you'll pull up the websites that you like. It's over the next year that you will see that it is more difficult, it's harder to remember, without the prompts of a meritocratically designed algorithm, you'll find it harder to remember those websites that you pulled up before that gave you information that was useful. Websites like Counterpunch and Alternet and TheIntercept.org. Ever since a decade-long battle over the future of the internet and the win back in 2015, the FCC and opponents of net neutrality have done everything they can to destroy net neutrality. And Chairman Pai, a former Verizon lawyer, has now successfully moved to destroy the open internet. Courts rejected two earlier FCC attempts to craft net neutrality rules and told the agency that if it wanted to adopt such protections, it needed to use proper legal foundation, Title II. In February 2015, the FCC did just that, giving internet users the strongest possible net neutrality rules when it reclassified broadband providers as common carriers under Title II. Title II gives the FCC the authority it needs to ensure that companies like AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon can't block, throttle, or otherwise interfere with web traffic. But Ajit Pai has now discarded this. He has returned the FCC to the light-touch Title I approach. Translation, Pai has given control of the internet to the very companies that violated net neutrality for years before the FCC adopted its current rules in 2015. So if you want to know who's attacking or who has successfully destroyed net neutrality, it's big phone and cable companies and their lobbyists. They filed suit almost as soon as the net neutrality rules were adopted. Free Press jumped in and helped argue the case, defending the FCC. And on June 14, 2016, a federal appeals court, appeals court, upheld the open internet protections in all respects. However, the ISPs challenged the rules in court still, and now they have their great success. The number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8032. So we're in the 503 area code, call 231-8032, extension 231. Now I want net neutrality restored so that KBOO, which is a broadcast and a terrestrial broadcast and a web broadcasting organization, so that what we produce and what we think can be examined and dealt with by the public, and so that our music and entertainment can go out. I hate to think that we would have someone performing live music here as we often do, and someone somewhere can't get it without buffering. That hasn't happened yet, but the FCC has set it up so that AT&T and Verizon and Comcast can do that. Now, changing topics. By the way, you can certainly call in on net neutrality. I'm going to go to some items, headlines on the agenda. Once again, that number, 503-231-8032. Ask for the air room, 503-231-8032. The question is the United States on the brink of nuclear war? This is a question asked by WSWS.org. They write, in the days since North Korea tested an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of reaching large portions of North America, the United States has further escalated its war threats. On Thursday, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley warned that the United States might not send athletes to participate in the 2018 Winter Olympics to be held in South Korea because it could not guarantee their safety in the event of a war. Last Sunday, National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster warned that the threat of war between the United States and North Korea is increasing every day. That's quote, increasing every day. The same day, South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham warned that the United States is getting closer to a military conflict. Again, that is a direct quote, getting close to a military conflict with North Korea, and urged the military to remove the families of U.S. soldiers from South Korea. These developments have been met with alarmed warnings from within the U.S. foreign policy establishment, as well as international bodies. On Friday, the Washington Post published a chilling hypothetical narrative by Jeffrey Lewis, a scholar at Middlebury Institute of International Studies, entitled, "This is How Nuclear War with North Korea Would Unfold." Lewis spelled out in hair-raising detail a scenario in which nearly 2 million Americans, South Koreans, and Japanese, had died in the completely avoidable nuclear war of 2019. On Saturday, the New York Times warned that the Trump administration's rhetoric on North Korea increasingly resembles that of the Bush administration in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq. And speaking for myself, the American public were led to believe that Iraq was responsible for 9/11. This was done by mentioning the two together and allowing the conflation basically on chauvinist and racist lines to be created in the minds of the American public, so that much, if not most, of the American public was convinced that Saddam Hussein was responsible for the explosions in downtown New York and at the Pentagon. Of course, this is not the case. And it was just a clever ploy. Bush once blurted out that he had never made that connection directly. And I think he said that because he meant that he is being good in terms of executing his duty of getting a war created without actually saying that there was no reason for it. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8032, extension 231, or ask to be transferred to the air room. I'll go to the first caller. Mary is on the air.
Oh, okay. Hey.
Hi.
I have a question, and that is, how can this be turned around?
Well,
let's say that we get a new era, and how can it be turned around?
Well, we would need a new administration to put new people in the FCC.
Okay.
And to pack it as the hyper-conservatives have, and for them to reconsider their decision and reverse it.
Oh, okay. So it can be reversed. Just a matter of getting a new administration in.
Yes, and that administration would have to be funded differently than we fund elections, generally speaking. They'd have to be funded on a Bernie Sanders or a Jill Stein type model, because otherwise they would also be beholden to AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon, and they would find it difficult, if not impossible, to move against them and maintain their corporate contributions.
Okay. Which means get the money out of politics. Next question, in the meantime, is there anything the states can do?
Well, Washington State is trying to do something about it. And from what I understand, the FCC is trying to undercut that. So we'll see how that plays out. But if you use a search engine, which you still can today, and you pull up Washington and net neutrality, you'll see that the governor is saying that he will not allow that sort of throttling and mainlining, or whatever you want to call it, the discriminatory practices versus certain websites to go on in Washington State.
Okay, so then a good thing for Oregon to do is to influence our governor.
I should think so. I think it's worth a try.
Oh, okay, like, just send lots and lots, blood. Information to her, cards, letters, calls. So that's something that Oregon can do. There's a lot of people out there to change what's going on, especially here in Oregon. A lot of groups. And even the Democratic Party, there's a lot of people in there that are the Multnomah Democrats that are, working to change that. Because 51% of the entire population of Oregon live in Multnomah County. So it's imperative that we change the Multnomah Democrats, at least. And there's a lot of organizations that are working to change it also. And the Multnomah Dems, certain parts of it so far, are working to form coalitions with other organizations out there that are trying, to change various parts of it. So that's one thing that, that can be done, at least here.
My attitude and that sort of thing is let a thousand flowers bloom, because that would be a good effort to undertake. I won't undertake it personally, because I, you know, have tried that sort of thing several times over my lifetime, and I view the Democrats as a loathsome corporate imperial shill. So good luck with that. Maybe it can be done.
But Bernie happened. Bernie happened,
and he was shut out. Bernie happened, and his votes were not counted.
But there's all kinds of people that have gone forth.
Jesse Jackson happened.
Yeah.
And Jesse Jackson's votes were not counted.
I voted for him in California.
Jesse Jackson was. Jesse Jackson won the platform at the Travis County Democratic election. I was a delegate, and I saw the entire party walk off the stage because we had elected a black man.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I was there, and I remember all that. But anyway, I can't give up hope. I just can't give up hope.
Well, I'm okay with that. Like I say,
I can't live in the...
Good on you. Let a thousand flowers bloom. Go get them.
All right, go get them. Well, we're trying to change the Democratic Party. The Maloma Democrats, people can join us if they want. They can become PCP. And I think... I don't know. I just see a lot of things happening since Bernie happened. So
yeah, it was a good thing.
That's,
we talked about class divisions, and we talked about socialism for the first time.
Yeah, we did. So yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much for clarifying that for me.
Thanks for calling in. We've been talking about net neutrality. I've also gone on to. Warnings in the press of the increasing probability of a war with North Korea. I invite you to call in. If you have the habit of calling in, you'll find that the regular number does not work. If I remember correctly, I think they call it the trunk line, is like 100 years old, and it has gone out for whatever reason. And so we have had to sort of reroute the calls coming in. So here's a different number. You're not used to this one. It's 503-231-8032, 503-231-8032. And once you get through, ask to be transferred to the air room or ask for extension 231. Either way, that will get through. And I'm talking about net neutrality. I'm very glad, just for the sake of my own personal satisfaction, to be speaking into a microphone that is attached to an air room that is being operated by a competent engineer that is going out to several transmitters as well as on the web, the largest of those transmitters being on the West Hills and putting out at something like 20 to 25,000 watts. Ajit Pai wasn't able to do a damn thing about that today, and I'm very glad. However, we do need full and equal access to the internet. I know that there are people around the world who would very much enjoy the public affairs and the music, maybe especially the music, and as I mentioned, live music, that KBOO.FM provides. And as I said before, we are now getting the double barrel attack from the dynastic rulers of this country who want to shut us up, who want people to be obedient and accepting of their very much reduced and reducing place in life. And that double barrel, the first barrel, was the alteration of the algorithms to attack left dissent, which is now metered, registered, documented. There's no doubt about it. And now we have the destruction of net neutrality, allowing corporations to do their funky thing that they always do, which is to maximize their profits. And judging from the attitude, that Martin Shkreli smile on Ajit Pai, I would say that the corporations also get, in the aggregate, speaking of a group of people, is also true that they rather enjoy crushing their opponents. And their opponents are you. Everyone who works for a living, everyone who gets a paycheck is being attacked by the destruction of net neutrality. Everyone who needed to work towards a better world to reduce homophobia, transphobia, racism, imperialism, all of these things are under attack from the destruction of net neutrality. Number to call, 503 231-8032, and I'll go to the next person on the air. Hi, Karen, you're on Press Watch.
Hi, thank you, Teresa. Well, I agree with all the observations you make about how dire our situation is, and I also feel very, at times, very depressed. Nevertheless, I think that to conflate the Democrats with the Republicans is a mistake, and that and there have been betrayals from the Democrats for sure. But to look at what's happening now under Trump and Republican hegemony, we can see stark differences. The complete erosion of the social safety net is the goal of the Republicans. We know this. We know they want to get rid of Medicaid and Medicare, and they want to destroy Social Security. The treatment of immigrants, undocumented folks, has worsened under Trump. There's been something like 40% increase in detentions. The only reason deportations are down is because people have been fighting back and funding immigrant law. I don't want to call them firms, but I guess they are. I think maybe the Southern Poverty Law Center is doing some of that work, and ACLU is doing some of that work, maybe. But to help keep detainees detained rather than deported, which is, of course, ironic in and of itself. But we see that it is the Democrats who is the only party that's ever given the LGBTQ community anything. And that the treatment of African Americans under Obama was certainly a mixed bag because of the local pockets of racism all over the country. But he sent Eric Holder continuously to various jurisdictions to have the police departments checked out by the Justice Department. I just think that it's not the same. I think that the world...
Oh, no, it's not the same.
Between the two...
Not at all the same. I have a metaphor that I keep in my mind. Now, let's say that you have a neighbor that you go and visit frequently. You're good friends, you and the neighbor, and wake up one day and find out that your neighbor has been viciously murdered. Two lazy detectives come to your house. One's a good cop, and one's a bad cop. They're both bad cops, really. They take you to be interviewed, and you'll do much better with the good cop who wants you to confess. He'll give you fried chicken, maybe ice cream for dessert once you sign. Bad cop will beat the crap out of you. You want to see the good cop. But you're going down either way. And this is true for the millions who are subjected to imperial, unjust, bloody murder by the Democratic Party. I'll have no part of them and their corporate support.
Well, but Teresa, the fact that people would have no part of them is one of the reasons, besides gerrymandering and voter suppression and voter caging and so on, that the Democrats lost the presidency and we got a monstrous administration in. This kind of purism, as much as I understand it, and I have wanted massive and radical social change my entire life.
Are you willing to die for it? I mean, that's what it's going to take.
Well,
we can't have Democratic and Republican parties. We cannot allow this culture to go forward as destroying the planet. This is the end. I really am calling for revolution. This means the destructions of the Democratic and Republican parties, the two-party system, the corporate system, the buzz that allows us to all be criminals because we're less criminals than those child-molesting Republicans.
Well, God bless you, Teresa, and God bless you for what you do. I want a revolution, but it has to be democratically voted in. I know what the Soviet Union did to its tens of millions of people. They killed them under Stalin, and I know what Mao's China did during the Cultural Revolution. 10 to 30 million were killed.
Do you really think that American leftists...
I don't want that kind of kill rate.
Okay? Do you really think American leftists are going to off their own people like people coming out of the Tsarist regime did?
Look,
do you really think that we're going to elect Stalin?
I beg to differ, that's all. I think we have to do it democratically. I think we do have to have a democratic revolution.
Well, that would be a revolution if we had democracy, if we actually
it would be, indeed.
Had full participation.
I'm about to fight for it. You can fight your way, and I'll fight mine, and God bless you, okay? Thank you so much.
Okay, well, we're agreed on that. Number to call, 503-231 8032-503-231-8032. We're talking about net neutrality. We're talking about imperialism in the form of the latest threat to kill millions of people, mostly Koreans, Trump thinks. Who knows how it'll actually work out. In a new war to prove that Trump is a commander-in-chief. That's the real basis for it. Number to call, 503-231-8032. And I'll take the next person on the air. Jack's on the air.
Yeah, ending the two-party tyranny is essential if we want to make any progress in terms of self-governance. And my critique of, convicted Democrats is my question to them is, why didn't they raise holy hell when Bernie got literally cheated out of the nomination? And there's been research that's been done to show that the Clinton machine stole 13 primaries. And where are their voices of outrage over that in their own party? That's my one question. I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Sure. And I agree. These parties are quite different. The bad cop really will beat you up. The Republicans are beating you up right now. They're distributing more money to the rich, to the dynasties. Dialing down the dynasty tax, which they call the death tax. Doesn't apply to anyone who's making less than, what is it, $1.5 million, $400,000, something like that. It's absurd. It really was intended to stop dynasties. They're transferring wealth in a massive way, and they are using the most blatant and cynical manipulation to get their poor, uneducated, nasty, racist core to enthusiastically go along with them. So they're the worst. There's a huge difference between them and the Democrats, and there's a lot of good people in the Democratic Party. So many good people, and they are so carefully controlled, so carefully outmaneuvered with everything from super delegates to, as just mentioned, actually just theft of ballots. Whatever it takes that you submit to corporate rule, whatever it takes that you meekly lick the boots of the super rich who control this nation. This is not a democracy. This is an oligarchy. It is a mind control state. It is a police state. Revolution is responsible. Revolution is incumbent upon you morally. The number to call, 503-231-8032, because our phone lines aren't working correctly, and so we have to route you differently. 503-231-8032, extension 231, or ask to be transferred to the air room. And topics so far have been net neutrality. I rattled off 40 reasons for a revolution before that. And I'm also talking about the apparently impending war with North Korea. So we'll go to the next caller now. Kyle is on the air.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for your show. I really enjoy it. Well, I don't know if I can say I really enjoy it, but I'm really informed by your information, and thank you for getting it all and putting it together in a show like this.
Thanks.
I gave it a little bit of thought, not a whole lot, but it isn't going to take a lot. I think my revolution is going to start if they pass that today. Maybe they already have.
They have.
Oh, they have. Okay, well, my revolution starts today, and that revolution starts with the cancellation of Citibank card that I have for Costco. And then I have a second card that I use all over the place, and I'm going to cancel that too. And I'm going to also tell them that I want my statement sent by postal service in the mail anymore. I am not going to go on the web. I'm not going to do anything on the web with them, and I'm going to get rid of them. That will get some attention if hundreds of thousands of people drop their credit cards. Believe me, that will get the bankers' attention, and believe me, they will be at their door real quick saying, "Oh, wait a minute, we need to open that net neutrality back up again." And that's where I'm going to start, and I hope thousands of other people are hearing this, and I hope they will do that too. It's really not that big of a deal. If you want to go back to the 1950s, that's fine. Actually, I think the Postal Service is more secure than the Internet anymore. So, there's some good points, and the Postal Service could use the work anyway. Why not,
Yes.
That's my solution, or part of it anyway.
Well, I like that. As you know, and as I was saying about the Democratic Party, you want to get in there and change it, go ahead. I've tried a long time, and you know, someone might actually pull it off. I don't know how to do that. Simply cannot compete with their moguls. They act very high-handedly, and then you can't get the police to arrest them because these things are considered legitimate.
Anyway, thank you so much. I'm gonna go off the air now.
Thanks for calling in. The number to call 503-231-8032. Not the usual number, but trunk line's not working. 503-231-8032. Yeah, I'm talking about revolution. When I talk about revolution, I like to think of a peaceful revolution. It would not be an easy revolution. It would not be without sacrifice. I imagine that the rich and their minions in various forms would kill many of us before we were able to pull it off. But the fact is, we do have it within our hands. It is possible to move towards revolution, first by putting out the information, which is what I'm trying to do, emphasizing that information, giving agency to people and thinking of a better world. What would a better world look like, and what steps can we take to move responsibly towards that better world, you know, for ourselves, for the millennials who, despite attempting to or attending college, cannot get far enough above minimum wage to actually make a living, for the people of color who are subjected to mass incarceration and daily harassment, but for ourselves, really, just to move towards more information, more outrage, more communication, moving towards street demonstrations, which are always essential, moving towards general strikes, rolling general strikes, finally getting parts of the armed forces. This is the part that always alarms someone, but I'm talking about a peaceful revolution. Finally, you get parts of the, and the way it works is you get parts of the armed forces to go along with you when they are charged with shooting you and they refuse. Historically, that's how things start to change. When the soldiers realize, hey, these are our people. You know, grandma's out there, and I'm just not going to shoot her. Then you get formal recognition from armed forces, and then you get enough, well, it's intimidation, basically, to move towards a new Continental Congress, a new Constitution, and a better society. It won't be perfect. Currently seeing the sort of Stalins that are going to replace the horrors that we saw in post-feudal, war-stricken, desperate Russia 100 years ago. It'll be different this time, but it'll be revolution. We can do it. We can move towards that. It's those basic ideas. It's those thoughts that you haven't allowed yourself to have. You think, actually, you haven't been allowed to have them. These thoughts are not reflected in the humanities. They're not reflected in science fiction novels. They're not reflected in movies on the television. You can only hear utopian thought on a people-owned left outlet like KBOO. KBOO, which is under attack now from algorithms on the web, denying access, and from the destruction of net neutrality. Number to call 503-231-8032, and I'll go to the next caller on the air. Derek, you're on the air.
Hi. I've been listening to your program. But the fastest way to a revolution, you may have to throw the Republicans and the Democrats under the bus, so to speak. But I think you had a caller called Mary saying, how do you stop this? And let's say the tax bill, which I understand is that Trump is going to sign, is monumental. So the fastest way to a revolution, in my opinion, is the reinvestigation of 9/11. You know, the sexual harassment thing is working to a point. But just pretty much stop the government and possibly the tax bill is the reinvestigation of 9/11. Open up that, and that would pretty much get everybody thinking.
And just how corrupt things are. Well, I don't know. I can't predict what would be the fastest spark or the hardest or brightest spark to create a revolutionary mindset. But I do think that people need to look at architects and engineers for 9/11 truth, professionals, scientists and engineers who actually know what they're talking about and understand their base talking points, and then you will come away from that saying, oh, it turns out it's really not physically possible for a building to fall that way without its structure being removed explosively first.
Yeah, just a scientific, just get all the universities and all the academics looking into it like they did at University Alaska Fairbanks.
Because you can't go back on physics. But I'm going to go on to the next caller now, and thank you for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8032. And just ask for the air room, because our air room line is apparently one of those that went down when the trunk line went down locally. So that's a different number. Let me give it to you again, 503-231-8032. And then you'll get a receptionist. So be asked to be transferred to the air room, or you can memorize extension 231. So I'll go to the next caller. Juan's on the air.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
So to all those well-meaning Democrats out there who think that they're going to change their party, do you know why superdelegates are there? They're there so you can't change your party. That's their function. If there's ever a candidate like Bernie that's paying attention to the people and what the people need, the superdelegates are there to derail them.
Now, I do want to say that the superdelegates were somewhat dialed back due to Sanders people's influence, and that was just recently, within the last couple of weeks, but they're still there.
They were dialed back from 600-something to 400, all right? So they dialed them back just enough to make it look like they were doing something, but not enough so that they won't work anymore.
Which is the specialty of the Democratic Party. As long as you're not looking too hard, you can call it the Democratic Party, but it really isn't. And I keep going back in my mind to the trip I took at the expense of KBOO listeners, actually, who I asked on a GoFundMe page back in during the Democratic Convention. And I saw the class divide so strongly. I saw the passion and the knowledge and people who were really fired up about actual democracy talking. It was so ironic talking about the details of democracy and what they could get excited about within the shadow of the Philadelphia City Hall, and then going into the hotels where the Clinton people were, and it was quiet and they looked rather afraid, and then they did their funky thing at the convention.
If we don't start another party, if we don't get behind the Green Party, or if we don't do something other than keep voting for the two parties that we've been voting for that have gotten us where we are today, we're doomed. And if we have to just get in the street, whether it's we cut up our credit cards, whether we stop paying our taxes, whatever it is, we got to do something. What we've been doing does not work.
All the things have to happen.
Take care.
Thanks for calling. 503-231-8032, and then ask to be transferred to the air room. I have also been talking about the threat of nuclear war with North Korea. I would like to think that the military generals would prefer not to have first use or perhaps any use of actual nuclear weaponry, since they can cover the strike points, the military material of North Korea so well with the massive, expensive satellite targeted weaponry that they already have. Suspect that is where we are going. As I was saying, reading from article in WSWS.org, the Trotskyist website that you're encouraged to forget by the new algorithms, it's starting to look like war, and the Trump administration is starting to act like the Bush administration did when they wanted to attack Iraq. And I can double down on that by pointing out some of the details. You can see article after article in the news about how bad North Koreans are, how crazy they are, how hungry they are. We never cared in terms of percentage of press, percentage of eyeballs. We never cared that they were starving. They are starving. They're very hungry people. I think the statistic is something like 7 out of 10 people in North Korea have trouble getting enough food, and many people are just straight up starving. But we're being given this information in order to justify the threat and, I suspect, the actual act of war. Returning to the article, same day as the New York Times warned Trump administration's rhetoric on North Korea increasingly resembles that of the Bush administration, Jeffrey Feltman issued a statement. That's a UN envoy, Jeffrey Feltman, issued a statement declaring that after discussion with North Korean leaders, both the UN and North Korea had concluded that the current situation was the most tense and dangerous peace and security issue in the world today, and he warned, time is of the essence. That's a quote, time is of the essence. On Sunday, at a ceremony to award the Nobel Peace Prize to the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, representatives of the group warned that mutual destruction between the U.S. and North Korea is only one impulsive tantrum away. On Sunday, conservative columnist George Will, of all people, strongly hinted that a U.S. attack against North Korea would place the country in violation of international law, noting that crimes against peace form the basis of Nuremberg Tribunal of Nazi War Crimes. Will concluded the first two counts of the indictments in the 1946 Nuremberg trials concerned waging aggressive war. And I would comment on that, where I used to call him George Swill because he was such an enthusiastic supporter of imperialism. What changed his mind now, I don't know, but he has a lot of readers, so I'm glad that he did. Even George Will saying it would not be right to attack North Korea. They write, such statements underscore the profound unease and concern with which large sections of the U.S. and international foreign policy establishment view a potential war with North Korea. As opposed to successive wars waged against Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and Syria, the United States has no international supporters in a potential war against North Korea. It is operating increasingly outside of the framework of international law with flagrant indifference to the mandates of the United Nations and the consensus of its erstwhile allies. And he writes, the administration's critics within the U.S. political establishment fear that a war against North Korea would be an unmitigated disaster for the United States in every conceivable scenario, involving the deaths at a minimum of hundreds of thousands of civilians on both sides of the North Korean border. Such a war would shatter whatever remains of Washington's standing on the international arena, rendering it a pariah state. The increasingly bellicose stance towards North Korea, which threatens to engulf it in a war far more disastrous than even the invasion of Iraq, has been a leading driver of speculation over the possibility of a White House Palace coup. In an article published in the current issue of Foreign Affairs, Scott Sagan warns that averting a potentially disastrous war with North Korea may present a substantial impetus for removing Trump from office by sections of the military. Sagan notes that in some ways the U.S. standoff with North Korea is even more dangerous than the Cuban Missile Crisis, when strong civilian leaders countered the U.S. military's dangerously hawkish instincts. But now, he writes, it is the senior political leadership in the United States that has made reckless threats, and it has fallen to Secretary of Defense James Mattis, a former general, and senior military officers to serve as voices of prudence. Again, speaking for myself, General Mattis, Mad Dog Mattis, is not and has never been a voice of prudence. It's only the contrast that has him defined in that way. I understand what the writer for WSWS.org is saying there. Compared to Trump, he's a voice of prudence, but that's damning with faint praise. This man is a warrior, likes war. His mind goes towards how to conduct a war. He's a general. But he writes, if senior military leaders believe at any time that Trump is impaired, they have a duty to contact Mattis, who should then call for an emergency cabinet meeting to determine whether Trump is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, and thus whether to invoke the 25th Amendment, because that is a quote, speaking for myself, of the 25th Amendment, unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. So they are rather desperately hinting at a military coup better than nuclear war. Now, I think that if North Korea is attacked in any substantial manner, they will retaliate with everything they have. I don't think that their ICBMs are sufficiently developed at this point to actually deliver nuclear weapons at this point. They don't have the reentry vehicles, but of course, who knows if I'm wrong about that. I do think that they could put a nuke on a submarine. They could put a nuke on a jet and get it pretty close to where they want it to be. And even if a war, even if their nuclear weapons don't go off near U.S. territory, when they go off, the U.S. population would be affected by the radiation, specifically by cesium, strontium, and iodine. And since this is now a threat, if the U.S. government were responsible in that way, we would have access to iodine pills. Iodine pills flood your thyroid with non-radioactive iodine so that you don't take up very much of it when it's in the environment. It's essential to avoiding thyroid cancers. The U.S. certainly should have done that in 2011. There should have been a swift mobilization to distribute thyroid pills to everyone in this town, certainly, as the iodine was coming down with the rain in 2011. Well, the situation could well be worse if there are several nuclear detonations due to Korean War. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8032. It's not the usual number. Our phone lines are down. One phone line is still working. 503-231-8032 and ask for the air room. And I'll go to the next caller. Kevin's on the air.
Well, sir, yeah, I was just calling because I read a while back that the internet was one of the only things in this country, being a free country, unlike other countries, that is not regulated. And I believe, like, they've made networks for all the big, you know, institutions to have enough space for their own, and then free transfer of ideas and knowledge around the globe was left up to us. And it just kind of makes me go, oh, they're finally going to get their grubby hands, and they just got to regulate every little thing you do. And that's what I hope that doesn't go to fruition, but I'm calling, and I'm glad to see that Washington State is going to say, hey, man, you know, we're just talking here. Can't you just kind of leave us alone and do your own thing? You can get hold of your little, you know, secret internets and all that and keep us out, but we'd like a little room to speak for ourselves. So, yeah, I didn't know all this was going on, and I thought, I read, yeah, it's one of the only things that is not yet regulated, and here I am just learning about this, and I've been hearing about it, and I'm like, they're finally going to try.
Well,
go ahead and regulate more stuff. I just can't understand what they're doing
in this case is a deregulation, since it benefits the very rich for this to be deregulated and for them to introduce their own corporate regulations, that is, strangulation of certain streams of information.
Well, they want to advertise, yeah, and they've got advertisers are fairly wealthy, but we have to pay for, you know, a little bit for our internet use and stuff, and it's like, yeah, it's just, you know, we get to communicate and exchange ideas with one another. And why do they have to step in and go, okay, now we're going to limit you and regulate you and slow you down and everything because we're gonna try to manipulate the almighty dollar over you and push this advertisement down your throat and everything. It's like, no, it's the internet has not been regulated, so we need to stand up and go, who does the internet actually belong to? What are the property rights? And can we have our little space here, if you don't mind?
Well, thank you for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8032. And we were talking about net neutrality because today, Ajit Pai, wearing his Martin Shkreli smirk, deregulated net neutrality, which is to say that he spiked net neutrality and gave over control of the internet to Verizon, Comcast, and AT&T, much to the rage of Google. And this is a case of certain billionaires having a better ear with the Trump administration than other billionaires. And all of us lose thereby. I also mentioned 40 reasons for revolution. I encourage you to think of reasons and means of revolution for yourself. I would say that is the only responsible attitude to take. in this day and age. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Stay tuned, because at 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Between the Covers, Meg Kearney talks about her new book, When You Never Said Goodbye. And at 11:30, Words and Pictures visits the Wordstock Festival and speaks with graphic novelist Gabrielle Bell about her new book, Everything is Flammable. Listening to KBOO Portland on our transmitter on the hill at 20,000 watts. Listening to us on other frequencies in Cascadia, and listening to us on KBOO.FM. And in that manner, we go out to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Beautiful Party on Thursday, December 14th at 6 p.m. at The Know in Portland. The Beautiful Party is a video premiere hip-hop birthday event. There will also be performances, samples, and other surprises at this 21 and over event. Again, that's The Beautiful Party on Thursday, December 14th at 6 p.m. at The Know, 3728 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. The December 18th meeting of the Board of Directors will be held at 6 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/board-directors.
This is Bill McKibben coming at you on KBOO Portland, Oregon.